Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Once again, that's the sound of rock cracking, and listen, wow, I'm telling you, in Georgia and South Carolina, there were some Democratic dreams come rolling down like broken rocks down a mountainside. It happened. We're going to talk about it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net right off. I wanted to sing this song, so take a listen.
Another day in the park. I think it was the 4th of July. People talking, really smiling. They're playing guitars and singing for a song.
Well, that's Chicago, the band Chicago, and singing Saturday in the Park. Thought it was the 4th of July. Well, 4th of July is coming up. Do you hear how they ended up that little clip? And it said, will you help this man change the world? Well, I think the voters in the Georgia 6th Congressional District are wanting to help Donald Trump change the world, drain the swamp. And they elected now Congresswoman Handel to do the job. So I believe you can say Trump gets a handle on the Democratic resistance movement. Trump gets a handle on it, folks. And it was a crazy, crazy election. You just have to, you know, one congressional election where over $50 million spent. $50 million for a single congressional district. Listen, I ran a congressional campaign just a couple years ago, and you heard me talk about that, longtime listeners, and I can tell you, I can't imagine what I'd do with $1 million. A lot of folks get that chance. I didn't have that opportunity, but $50 million, I believe the Democrats raised about 25, and it was matched by a lot of PACs and things that helped Miss Handel get her money. I think she raised $5 or $6 million, which is tremendous, tremendous. And yet the Democrats, I believe they pointed out, Mr. Ossoff had about 800 contributors from the district, which is a decent amount, but he had 8,000 contributors from the state of California. It's like outsiders trying to buy a district, not good anywhere, but you go in the deep south, like in Georgia, and say, you're going to let outsiders come in? And Ossoff didn't even live in the district, had ties, connections, but didn't live there. I think Miss Handel was right. She asked him, who are you going to vote for in the election? He couldn't vote for himself. It's a lot of sad time, I believe, over on the Democratic side. They want to do anything. You know, this is what's laying in the background. I haven't heard, maybe you've heard it on some of the news organizations. I haven't heard it. But this is what drives the left crazy. What happened, let's reel this back 8 years ago. After Barack Obama won and the left was in charge. And not only, you know, they had to, they had the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, and they had the Senate at the time, Harry Reid, as the majority leader in the Senate, and they had a filibuster-proof Senate, folks. Unheralded power in the modern age, all in the hands of the leftists. But what happened? Well, we call it the Tea Party movement now. But people on the conservative side got together, and there was a special election right off the bat in the state of Massachusetts, of all places, where Edward Kennedy had passed away in a special election. It was supposed to be a slam dunk by the Republicans. And Scott Brown, the Republican, won the Senate seat for the United States Senate. It was a shocker to the left. It was a shocker to the Democrats. And that is what is in the mind of so many people. And when Donald Trump won, the left said, we got to have a Scott Brown moment. There have been four congressional special elections, and they've lost them all, folks. And the other night, when you look at the money spent in Georgia's 6th District, and what was closer was the district in South Carolina. It was underplayed. People didn't talk about it. There's a district in South Carolina, and Ralph Norman, Republican, was running, and he only won by about 2,600 votes. It was close. And they put in about, I think, $275,000 in the South Carolina. I'm talking about the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. They put $275,000 in the South Carolina race, and they put $5 million in the Georgia special election. Now, why did they think they had a better chance in Georgia? Well, they obviously did think they had a better chance. Why? Because Trump only won by 1 point there, and also because they said it's more educated. They want to believe that educated people don't like Donald Trump. Now, I don't know what they mean. Of course, high school degrees, a lot of folks voted for Trump. I'm here sitting here with a four-year degree and then a doctor's degree, and I'm a Trump supporter. And there's a lot of us PhD doctors. I have a DMD, but there's a lot of doctors voted for Donald Trump, support Donald Trump. And it's like the media wants to think, they want you to believe every person who hasn't finished high school is what's driving Donald Trump. No, there's a lot of educated voters who understand the liberal activist agenda, and we don't want any part of it. Now, you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and like I said, we had some rock splitting in South Carolina and Georgia last week, and that's why we're talking about it, and that's why it's very important for the mood of the nation. Like I said, you didn't hear it. I never heard it on any of the news reports, but in the back of the mind of this what they want to call the resistance, the Democratic, the leftist resistance to Donald Trump, even the Never Trumpers, some are Republicans. But there was this Scott Brown moment after Barack Obama had unheralded power, and it became a Tea Party movement. And it did drove people together to force the Democrats and the liberal agenda out of the House of Representatives. And in 2010, just 1 year after the passage of the health care bill, the Obamacare, it drove a connectedness of those who opposed the leftist agenda. I was a part of that. That's why this radio show started back in 2009, 2010. And together, working hard, the House was won for the Republicans. And then we went on, and like I said, it took a while. Thought we could get Barack Obama defeated. When you go back and I think you look at what happened, he should have been defeated. Didn't happen. But the movement didn't split off. Together, the Senate was taken in 2014 and in 2016. against all, like I've said, the biggest rock split of our lifetimes, when Donald Trump, the biggest political rock split, was when Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton. And the left still has not gotten over that. They just haven't. It was a complete victory. And what happened was all this energy is going into these four House races. There's one in Montana, one in Kansas, and now the last week, the one in Georgia and South Carolina. And the Democrats have gotten close. If they're playing horseshoes, it's pretty good. But they're 0-4. And they haven't changed their agenda. They haven't changed the way to get beat. And they're saying, well, it's a moral victory because we got close in these Republican districts. Like I said, after Kansas and after Montana, I hope the Democrats keep winning these moral victories as long as they keep losing the elections. All right? I think that's a good strategy for the Democrats to stay on it. How about that? Now, in just a moment, I'm going to play some from Karen Handel's victory speech there at the 6th Congressional District in Georgia last week. And before I do, I was talking about the band Chicago, and it reminded me, if some of our listeners up in the Chicago area want to meet me, I will be in the Chicago area. Now, I'll be doing something that has nothing to do with politics, all right? Nothing, absolutely nothing to do with politics, but I'll be in the area, and I'm going to tell you some places. Actually, the church I go to, I got three of my children in a youth choir that are doing concerts. A great choir, does choreography, and got a live band. You don't see that these days very much, but they're going to be playing throughout Chicago in a few places. And if anybody, and this week, so Tuesday, June 27th, 12 noon, we'll have a concert during the lunch hour at the Pacific Garden Mission. I know a shelter for homeless, and it's if you know where that is, if you want to come by and hear us at 12 noon, and if you want to meet me, just ask people, where's Doc Holliday? And they'll show you. But this has absolutely nothing to do with politics. But I'd love to meet you if you're in the Chicago area. Also, we'll be in the area in some places right out of Chicago. But also Thursday, June 29th, around 10 a.m., we're going to do a little concert on the Navy Pier. So you can look for the group, and the group is called Zamar Choir, Z-A-M-A-R. That's a Hebrew word. But we will, if you want to follow, see exactly what we're doing each day, you can go to zamarchoir.org, zamarchoir.org, and it'll tell you what we're doing every day. And I think the last day in Chicago, Friday, June the 30th. 12:30 p.m. We're going to do a concert at the Water Tower Park on the Magnificent Mile. So be there, and then I think we're going to go see the Chicago White Sox play. I've never seen the White Sox play. So we'll get to go see a ball game there that afternoon to sort of end up our week in Chicago. But if you're in the area, anywhere in Chicago, and you got a chance to hear this choir sing, there's a great choir, and I'd like to meet you. So just ask somebody in the choir, the adults there helping chaperone with me, just ask where Doc Holliday is, and I'd love to meet you there in the Chicago area. Now, saying all that, we'll get back on politics here, because we're going to listen to what Karen Handel had to say, and after she won her special election. It was a hard fought campaign. I mean, the Democrats threw everything they had at her, and she remained resilient, and I think she was a great candidate who won a crowded primary as far as getting to the runoff. And Ossoff, if you remember, had 48% of the vote. If he'd gotten 50% with the Republicans all fractured, he could have won the seat then. So it's very significant to realize, you know, I think he spent like over $20 million. He spent $5 million the first time around, $20 million in this runoff. I don't know exactly. But, you know, he got 48% in that in the first round when he won first, but he had to go to the runoff because he didn't win 50%. And he, after $20 million more, his percentage went down instead of up. Now, does that say something about the liberal agenda? Well, I think it does. So let's listen to Karen Handel, new congresswoman from Georgia's Congressional District Number 6.
Across this country who also united to help us hold the six. And a special thanks to the President of the United States.
Well, got to break in right here. Did you hear this loud cheer for the President of the United States? And the press would make you think he's dismal. His popularity is fleeting, and his supporters are gone. Listen to this crowd to help get Karen Handel elected over the Democratic far left throwing everything they had at her. All this money, $25 million. For a congressional seat, threw it at her, and she prevailed, and she said, thank you for Donald Trump. Hear the crowd roaring for the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. It's a great feeling, and there were motorcyclists for Trump who were out there knocking on doors for Karen Handel, and Trump supporters out there saying they knew how important it was because those who are against Donald Trump, the resistance, the leftist activist agenda, they were out there in the 6th district trying to rally support against the president by defeating the Republican candidate Karen Handel. It did not happen. It did not happen because great people who want to see America great again went to the 6th Congressional District, and they stood up for our president, and they stood up for Karen Handel, and she prevailed. Carry on, Congresswoman Handel.
This campaign, and that was Majority Whip Steve Scalise. Right up until that tragic day on the ball field, Steve would drop me a text message every single week just to make sure I was doing okay and hanging tough. I think he even called me the Terminator in one of them. On that ball field was a terrible tragedy, and we need to all continue to lift up Steve and the others who were injured that day, and we need to also lift up this nation so that we can find a more civil way to deal with our disagreements.
Well, she well deserved her victory. She ran a very tough campaign, doing what she needed to do to stay on message and help get the voters out. And she prevailed. And Donald Trump prevailed. The Republicans prevailed. What does this mean? Very important, because standing in right on this main stage is the health care bill that's wavering in the House, that's been passed, and the Senate ready to vote on it. At the time of this recording, we don't know if a vote will come up before July 4th or not. We're hoping it will. You know, we've got to get a new health care plan Obamacare is dying, and it needs to go away. We need something, and it can be improved on, but like I said before, the Republicans must get health care reform and tax reform before the end of the year. It must happen. If it doesn't happen, then we just got to look at another set of Republicans and throw the rascals out and put a new set in. I don't think we have to go to that, but they've got to get these things done. So saying all that, it's very important, because if Ossoff had beaten Karen Handel, he would have been hailed as the new Barack Obama. It had been plastered across all the papers. All the liberal press would be nothing but talking about him and how America hated any kind of health care reform, and they loved Obamacare, and that's why they voted for Ossoff, and it would be a whole national agenda against the Republicans. And I think that's why so much money poured in from both sides. The liberal media, though, as we've said before, were ready for collusion. They've been colluding with the Democratic candidates and the left, and they were ready with an agenda if he was to win, if he were to have won. He did not win, but their agenda was ready to go. Don't doubt me on that, as Rush Limbaugh will say. Don't doubt me. They had an agenda ready to go if they could pull it off. And they did everything they could to help him out, but the Republicans prevailed. And that gives some cover for the Senate to vote for this, even though it's not the best health care reform legislation. But you got to get something done. You may not get a chance in 2018. It's got to get done, folks. And we need to help put some pressure on our congressmen and our senators to make sure that they get some action going on health care and tax reform, along with all the other things going on. But those two are a must if they don't want to be primaried in 2018. I just say that's what we need to look at. But a great win for Republicans, for Donald Trump, for the people of Georgia, especially those in the Congressional District number 6. And don't forget about the South Carolina win with Ralph Norman. Two great wins for the Republicans, and it'll make it, again, a steep climb for the Democrats to try to take over the House next year. I hope the Republicans will gain. I hope they will gain in the Senate, where they have a great opportunity to gain, because so many Democrats are up for re-election against so few Republicans. So big, big night last week when the Republicans prevailed. And as we end up this show, let me just remind you, you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We had rock splitting last week. You've heard things here today. Just like I said, the Scott Brown moment. The liberal activist agenda, they want a Scott Brown moment. And, you know, they try to fabricate it, just like Kathy Griffin and the severed head of Donald Trump. They try to fabricate it when they put out the fake news and just hound on and on about this Russia collusion, which there's been no evidence. Nobody's brought forth evidence. And yet they bring forth, trying to find something that'll stick, something that could take down this president. And all along, the reality is they're searching for a Scott Brown moment. Just like when the conservatives came together to take away the Senate seat in a state of liberal Massachusetts. They won in that deep blue state a United States Senate seat. And now the activists left trying to recreate this what it is a fake resistance. They want something to be like the Tea Party, that the grassroots that came together and shook the nation. It caused Barack Obama's allies to go to the IRS and try to shut down the Tea Party. And for the most part, they did. They did. They did Occupy Wall Street to try to get the Tea Party out of the news. But the grassroots got together, and they had a Scott Brown moment, and it resonated across the nation, all 50 states. And a lot of things happened. Where did Ted Cruz come from? Where did Senator Mike Lee in Utah come from? Where did Donald Trump come from? It's from this grassroots movement to say we need a revolution. And the American people voted for that revolution in 2016 to drain the swamp. And now they're saying, oh, we got to have this resistance. Folks, we're in the revolution. We got who we need. We got a president who's not afraid to say things that no other president would say. Is it all perfect? Is it all just fine and dandy? No. But he's shaking up the left. He's shaking up the press. And we got to move forward in draining the swamp. And it's going to make some people unhappy. But I'm glad we got a president who's not afraid to do some things other presidents would not dare do when it comes to draining the swamp. Now that wraps up our show this week about Trump getting a handle on the resistant Democrats, the resistance movement, or whatever they want to call it. But I believe he got a handle. Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, got a handle on it last week. And let's see how he can prevail in the future. Now, also, like I said earlier in the show, if you're in the Chicago region this week, check out Zamar, Z-A-M-A-R, choir.org. It'll tell you where they're going to be. I'll be there as a chaperone. I got three of my children in that choir, but it's a great, they put on a really good show and got a good message, and it has nothing to do with politics. So you can come out, though, if you want to meet Doc Holliday, just ask for Doc Holliday, and somebody will find me. Hope you can come out, and if you're in the Chicago area, and join us. I'd love to meet anybody that listens to the Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Also, I just want to remind you that next week will be our July the 4th show. We got some special clips and things we're going to be putting together for July the 4th and celebrate American independence. And now, more than ever, we need to celebrate what our founding fathers, founding mothers put together so that we can enjoy the fruits of freedom. Very important to protect, very important to know about it. So listen to next week's show. We'll have it together. I cannot wait for you to hear next week's show. And we will see you then. God bless you. God bless America.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.